the reference?
Yeah, because I want you to, I'm going to see if I can find the things for you to do. You could, you and Bob could be tag team partners or something, doing whatever. We're going to need people to make announcements, direction. We need the visuals begins outside. The church is completely dark. No lights. I mean, some people get carried away and even unscrew the bulb and the exit light. We don't do that. But it's supposed to be dark, 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 dark. And outside we start with a fire, an Easter fire. And then that big Easter candle processes into the church, and that's the only light in the church.
That's 8:30.
That's 8:30, yeah. So, but there's a lot of, you know, you're going to be getting baptized, you're going to be getting confirmed, you're going to be getting received into the church. There's a lot of emotion for you on that one, so we do need to rehearse. And I know 6 o'clock sounds early, but believe me, it's not. With this thing beginning at 8:30, by 8 o'clock, we're going to have to be done, because the choir is going to be practicing, and people are going to be setting up flowers, and people are going to want to come in to pray and give us dirty looks if we're rehearsing at 8 o'clock. You know, they're going to say, you're bothering my prayer. Well, that's all it's not. So we want to get this done and over with, so we're set. Last year you videotaped most of it, but not everything.
I don't even remember.
If you could check.
I may have just set up
a camera. If you could check.
No, I would not have. I didn't have a video camera then. So my regular camera was only good for like 15 minutes or so.
So you have 15-minute snippets of that?
I have probably snippets in there.
Let's take a look at that, because we were very happy. There's always the issue, this only happens once a year, and I don't remember what we did the previous year is the problem. And I'm supposed to write things down, but I don't get around to do that. And we all have that, aha, Bob recorded it, video it. And we were very happy with the way things flowed last year. So we're going to have to practice a few times. You know, there's going to be the issue, Lindsay getting baptized. I don't know about Amanda. So, you know, we're all going to get up and go back by the baptismal font. We're all going to stand around that as she gets baptized. And then for those of you who are Catholic, you're going to get confirmed. So we have to practice that whole thing.
No, I don't do that, right?
No, because you've
already... Yeah,
those of you who are not Catholic, first, before you can be confirmed, you have to be received into the church. So we have to rehearse that. And there's a little thing that you say, I'll give you a little index card with what you need to say. That's all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of getting up and moving, and always the question about where to stand. So it's, you know, the liturgy flows conveniently, but still everybody could see. And so we have to play a lot of it by ear, depending on the number of people that we have. And so that's why we need to practice. What I'm going to do, you'll see, is I'm going to bring the rite for the Easter Vigil with me, and we're going to start pretending on the outside with the fire and how we're going to stand and where we're going to process in and where we're going to sit and when do we come back out. There's a lot that has to go on. Okay? So that's what the rehearsal is for. So I would say 6 is safe. And again, plan for about 2 hours for the vigil itself. Do you remember if they have anything afterwards?
Yes.
They do?
At midnight we were in the family.
At least a cake. Yeah, there's going to be a cake for you. The parish is going to buy a cake, you know. There's going to be something, you know. We'd be sitting in church for 2 hours. It'd be nothing if we were Baptists, but we're Catholics, so that's going to be long. And people are going to want cheese, crackers, and punch, and coffee, and all that sort of stuff. So 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, as Bob said. 11 o'clock, we're probably going to be in the Family Life Center having our little part of it. The good news is that's your Sunday Mass at Easter Vigil, so you get to sleep in.
So we're going to practice after the 5 o'clock Mass?
There won't be a 5 o'clock Mass.
There won't be.
There won't be a 5 o'clock Mass.
Okay.
After the Holy Thursday Mass, there's no Mass at all anywhere in the world until Holy Saturday, that 8:30 Mass. So.
Excuse me for being ignorant, but what is the confirmation here? It's been quiet.
Completion of the baptismal graces.
What does it mean?
You'll be... The priest will put anoint company with sacred chrism on your forehead and say, be sealed with the Holy Spirit. So it kind of completes baptism. So that's what...
It's like a supercharger of Spirit.
Thank you, super, yeah.
Supercharged with Spirit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Like I said, it's been quite a while since I've been... That's confirmed. Yeah, yeah.
So you've been baptized.
He's Catholic. He's her sponsor.
I'm just joking.
He asks the questions that I don't think to ask.
Let's see. And so, you know, today we have the penitential rite, which is for the baptized. So this is specifically, I don't know, who knows it. I doubt Amanda's coming, and who knows if Lindsay. Lindsay was kind of here last week, right? So...
She never showed up though, but she was there.
She showed up at the very end.
I didn't see her. I saw the boyfriend.
Her boyfriend.
Yeah, but she never came after the boyfriend.
I didn't, yeah.
She got lost again.
Wow.
So they get hurt like that and then.
Yeah, we gotta figure out a way to do this next year differently.
Well, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday from St. Augustine in Gainesville. They are. When is theirs? It's at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, which means that she's going the night before and getting a hotel because she doesn't want to, you know, you have to, you want to make, you see what the parking is like. I mean, if you leave Gainesville at 7 and get there by 9, that's not going to work, you know, so you have to leave Gainesville at 6 or 5 or, you know. So that's not, I always thought that they schedule things so that for those of us who have like a 2-hour drive, we're in the afternoon. The poor planning was, you know, that they had the seafood festival and the blessing of the fleet on the same day, which is really what killed the parking. What killed it for me, of course, was that baptism that was scheduled without consulting me, and I would have said, no, March 5th is no good, because that's the right of election. But that's not how it was handled. You know, I was told, well, the baptism is on the 5th. So that was the problem with me. That's always an issue, parking and going to the cathedral.
It was a high rise. We parked. There was no problem.
Yeah.
We got there early. We decided to go right after Mass. We got there early. We actually walked around for hours.
Really?
Had lunch, everything.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Did the whole
better
thing.
That way. Because it's a nice
If you're traveling, you have to be responsible enough to know how soon you should leave.
That's right.
And be there on time. There's no excuse for anybody not being there.
There was parking. It was a high rise.
Yeah.
Well, we ended up parking at some Methodist church in the faculty parking.
Okay.
And it was only about 2 blocks.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
It was a nice walk.
Where Flagler is buried, I think, that Methodist church. Mm-hmm. I think he's buried in the church, Henry Flagler.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think we're right behind that church.
Yeah. So yeah, it's always a. It was 1 year when the cathedral was being renovated that they had it at in Middleburg at St. Luke's in Middleburg, which is a huge church. So yeah, we'll see as it varies from year to year. But you're right. You kind of have to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know with. Yeah, I think the problem too with Lindsay is it's you know, a tank of gas is serious for some people. I know several people. You know, that's a tank of gas you're talking about.
Was that a mother that was there? Was that her sponsor? Was that a mother?
That was her boyfriend, her fiance.
No, she had a lady there the whole time.
Oh, I don't know who that was.
Her sponsor was there.
Must have been her mother.
She was telling us that they came in separate cars.
Yeah, it must have been.
She was on the thing the whole time, but she couldn't do nothing.
I mean, you see. I mean, yeah. What are you going to do? Yeah?
Nothing.
Millennials. So, next week, do you have the schedule handy on your phone?
I can get it.
Schedule? So next week is the first scrutiny. Again, scrutinies are, it's self-scrutinies. It's not like you get scrutinized by it. Oh, thank you. It's not like you get scrutinized by anybody. So we're down for the 7:30.
Have the schedule?
Yeah, the 7:30 next week. Is that okay with everybody? That's not okay. Well, you have to, you don't have to. You're not, you know. You like the 11:30.
I prefer the night before because I'm getting up at 5 something to do my animals.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what we've had here is next Sunday 7:30, then the following two Sundays for the second and third scrutiny, we're at the 11:30, a more civil hour. This 7:30 mass today. I hate to deviate from what's here because this is what everybody has, and this is what's posted online. And if somebody is not here, and you go to this to see what's going on, I hate to change it for that. I hate it when someone does that to me, you know, when you check this online schedule and they, oh no, we changed it. We just didn't, you know, so. Yeah, so next Sunday, 7:30, then the following two Sundays, the 11:30, and then you see on April 13th, 7 p.m., RCIA participates in foot washing. And then April 15th is Holy Saturday. So that's the. And then after that, we enter the period of what's called mystagogia. That's another one of those Greek words, right? That means being led into the mystery. So you've experienced the sacraments. Is sacramentum is Latin, right? In Greek, they're mysterium, means sacrament. And so it's a little bit more of a descriptive word than mysteries. You've entered into the mysteries of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. And so now mystagogia means leading deep. It's a compound Greek word, leading into the mysteries. So you're led more deeply into the mysteries of the sacraments of the church. And so what topics did we have scheduled there? Fostering a deeper life of prayer. The role of the laity in the church and the world. Continuing conversion, a lifelong goal of holiness. Well, then what's next? Ministries in the church. So it kind of launches you into the Catholic life in a certain sense. Somebody came to me, he's a philosopher by training, and he offered to do a class on faith and reason, and I want to take him up on that because I think you'll enjoy it very, very much. He teaches philosophy at Santa Fe College. You know him.
Yep.
So to talk about faith and reason, coming from him, I'm looking forward to it. Let's put it that way. So I think one of these mystagogia days, which one, I don't know. You know, again, you see that there's no class on April 16th. You're going to be here late. I've got to be here for a sunrise service at 7 o'clock. Lucky me. But that's okay. And then we meet back up on April 23rd. And whether we go all four of them, probably then we'll go back to our old room by then. I put a sign on the door that says until Easter. After Easter, we'll go back to the for whatever time left to the activity center. Yeah. So what else that we use is more planning, right? What else do we need to schedule, find the time, you know, maybe I know I'm not telling you when to do it, I'm leaving it up to you, but look at your calendars and find the time between now and Holy Saturday. That's a lot of time, April 15th, right? You have a month to find a time to go to confession somewhere with somebody, whether it's here with Father Sebastian, whether it's here during the mission, whether it's here during the penance service, and there's going to be a couple of visiting priests. There aren't going to be, he's not going to bring in that many, because since the priest is hearing, the mission priest is hearing confessions every day, we're expecting there aren't going to be a lot of people that will want to go to confession. So on that Tuesday, it'll probably be Father Sebastian, the mission priest, whatever his name is, and then probably Father Bassan from Brantford, who's a Spanish-speaking priest. So, you know, be one of those guys. But finally, mark your calendar. Say to yourself, this day, I'm going to go to confession. Okay? And you remember how to go to confession? What's the routine? How do you go to confession? Does somebody want to volunteer? How do you go to confession?
Bless me, Father.
Okay, so I'll let you walk in, And you either, it depends whether you want to go, what's the first choice you're going to have to make? If you're going here, back during the penance service, you may not have, unless you go into the confessional in the church, you may not have too much of a choice. They'll probably have, what will they do? They'll probably, in past years, they would use the little classrooms in the Family Life Center as confessionals. So we'd have, you know, let's say 10 priests, each one goes in. So you have no choice about behind the screen, right? If you go to one of the guys in the classroom, he's sitting in one of the little kiddie chairs for first grade, and you sit in another kiddie chair for first grade, and that's all there is to that. So the first choice you have, though, is if you're going to go, let's say, in the thing, you want to go face-to-face, you want to go behind the screen. That's entirely up to you. And so you go in, and let's say you go face-to-face. You walk in, you sit down, and you say, hint, what do you say?
The name of the Father, the Son.
Very good. And then the next thing you say,
blessed be Father, for I have sinned.
Right.
And it's been so long.
It's been so long since my...
Is it forgive me, Father, for I have sinned?
Bless me, Father.
Bless
me.
Okay.
We got that paper in one of the classes.
Yeah. But you probably don't want to bring that paper in with you. You know, you can. Nobody's going to care. But, you know, it's not...
If I went to confession like a month ago, do I still go again?
Well, you have to decide that. Do you need to go again?
I'm always sinning, right?
Yes.
Yes. Answer your own question.
you just answered your own question. That's right. Some people, St. John Paul II, went every day. He had a priest visit him in his papal quarters there. He went to confession every day. Some people say, that was kind of excessive. Well, you know, for some people it might be, for others it might not be, you know. I'm sure that kind of an aggravating job, he probably running a church, you know, he probably needed to go more than once a day. I would. You know when you need to go. So after you say, bless me, Father, I have sinned, it's been whatever. If this is your first confession, you know, you say, I'm an RCIA. I'm coming into the church, and this is my first confession. That's all you need to say about that, if you haven't been. Most priests, the music to their ears is, you know, it's been 30 years since my last confession. So, you know, it means you've come back home, you know, so whatever. And then you confess your sins, again, in theory, in number and kind. You know, now, that's the theory. Right? The book says you have to confess them in number and kind, which means what you did, you know, I murdered 43 people, you know, that's number and kind. So you have to say what you did and how many times you did it.
What did you
do? Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't always work that way. So
use the word lots.
You know, Lori, when she went for her first confession, she went in with sheets of paper. and the priest she chose, it was Father Phillips from Holy Faith. She said his jaw dropped, and all he said was, "You brought a list." And then he said something like, you know, let's just put this down. Because he said, you know, just to start reading, you know. Okay, page 3.
Section 2.
And you confess old mortal sins, right? Give me an example. What's a mortal sin? Give me examples of mortal sins.
Missing Mass.
That's right. Missing Mass on Sunday through, in your own fault. Now, if you're traveling, or if you're sick, or you know, that's fine. Or if there's some extenuating circumstance that prevents you from going to Mass, fine. It's amazing. It's amazing to me how Catholics have become so casual with this. Let's not go today, sort of thing. You know, amazing. I mean, if you're a Catholic, you're obligated to go to Mass every Sunday and on holy days of obligation. to not go just because you don't feel like it or because you want to go to Walmart or whatever is considered a mortal sin. So don't, whatever, as I say, the best response is whatever you do, don't die before getting confession, you know? I'm not judging what happens to you, but the church would say, you know, you're in trouble, potentially, you know? Hopefully before you die, you have a chance to make a real good act of contrition, right? And express true sorrow for that sin. So what's the more mortal sin? So yeah, I'm glad you brought that one up. That's a good one. Missing Mass. Most people think nothing these days of missing Mass. Adultery. And that's a serious sin.
Adultery,
that's right. You go through the commandments, you know, stealing, murder, right? And some of the handouts I gave you discusses that, you know. Or if you participate in murder in some way, what's a way today that some people participate in murder? Abortion. That, you know, they're driving their friend to the abortion clinic knowing they're going for an abortion. That's participating in the murder of that child. And there's other sorts of, you know, that commandment now you could sort of trickle down. Maybe you're not going to murder, but, you know, what about supporting government policies that treat people like pawns, you know, that just, you know, life, human life doesn't matter. This is, you know, you need to think, what are my motives? I mean, it's intentions that God looks at, you know. I think a good example, a controversial example, and controversy is good, is about this whole wall along the Mexico border. That, you know, the church would say, the country has a right to protect itself and defend its borders. So in that regard, it's perfectly okay to build a wall. But you probably need to balance that with some sort of policy that, you know, people are coming from countries where it's ravaged by drugs, you know, drug cartels and gangs. They don't want to see their children killed. You know, you'd probably do the same thing and say, I'm getting the hell out of here. You know, I'm not going to live here. This is a living hell. So they leave, but they break the law and they come into our country. How we deal with them, men of goodwill can discuss. But the thing you must always remember, these are human beings. These are people made in the image and likeness of God. If you start to treat them like dirt, you're violating the fifth commandment, thou shalt not. What commandment is thou shalt not kill? You know, there's more to thou shalt not kill than going to somebody, right? There's treating people in a way that diminishes their dignity as a human being. So you have the balance. This is where faithful Catholic citizenship comes into the picture. Do we have a right to defend our country and protect our borders? Absolutely we do. But let's make sure that whatever we do, we protect the dignity of the human beings that are coming across this border.
This is the whole political question. If I break the law, I go to jail.
That's right.
You want us to defend them for breaking our law.
You know, what some people might say is that there are higher laws, there's a hierarchy of law. You know, if you're breaking the law because you're smuggling drugs into this country, absolutely, you should be arrested and, you know, go to jail until they deport you. But if you're breaking the law because you're trying to get your family out of a deplorable life where there's no future for them, is that really? Yeah, you're technically breaking the law, but maybe there's a higher law at work there. You know, why isn't their government doing what they need to do to protect its citizens from the drug cartels? Well, their government is so corrupt that it's emasculated. It can't do anything. It's worthless. So how do you balance all that? You see, men of goodwill could disagree on what the best approach is. You know, some people will say open borders, some people will say build a wall. They could both be right, they could both be wrong. We're not talking about right or wrong, but we're talking about always remembering that you're dealing with human beings, with made in the image of God, with a fundamental dignity. Your laws need to be based on a humane, principles that you're not treating people like dirt. So I'll be brutally honest with you. That's the sort of thing that I often go to confession for. Because my human tendency is, they're coming across the border, what is this? No question about it. You fuck them up, shoot them. This is war. That's what you do in war. You kill people, right? You break things and kill people. It could be war on terror, could be war on drugs. But then I have to stop and say, whoa, wait a minute, what am I saying here? These are innocent people, sometimes children, looking for a better life, Well, that's the extreme you can go to with that.
You can't tell the San Bernardino Muslims that did all the killings. They had a family.
That's right.
And they killed all those people.
That's right.
All those government workers.
That's right.
There's no way to tell.
It's very, very, this is where it's hard to be a Catholic. This is where you need to really understand, you need to be involved in the political, the social climate of what's going on, and let your faith inform your vote, inform your decision. Even though your gut instinct might be the same. Hell with these people, they're criminals, lock them up, throw them away.
One of the things that about murder that, and abortion, it's black and white, but people don't carry it over into the death penalty.
That's right. Good example.
Killing sick people.
That's
if
right.
You believe in life, you believe in life.
Exactly. Exactly.
People seem to forget about you.
I've heard so many people, quite a few people have said to me, if I'm diagnosed with terminal cancer, I'm going to go look for Dr. Kevorkian. I'm not going to go through that. Why should I go through that? I'm going to end it for myself if they tell me it's hopeless, So there again is a violation of thou shalt not kill. You're taking life into your hands. You're deciding when your life should end.
Is that a mortal sin? Would that be a mortal sin?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
That's a biggie.
That's a biggie. That's a biggie.
That's like suicide.
Exactly. Now, suicide usually, that's why they distinguish between euthanasia and suicide. Suicide is pretty much recognized these days as a form of mental illness. Yes, there was a time when the church would not give a Catholic funeral to a person who committed suicide. But a person who takes their own life is usually not a sound. There's something wrong. Reached such a point of despair that you saw no other way out. Is that making a free will choice of ending your life? I don't think so. Those people are calling out for help usually. But to say if I get cancer and they tell me I'm going to have only 6 months to live, I'm taking the pills now. I'm going to end it now. That's a free will choice to take life into your own hands. Your life or someone else's life. Again, remember, as we've said, what is the number one mission of the church? The number one mission of the church is?
Salvation of souls.
Salvation of souls. So, in terms of capital punishment, it's so easy to say, fry the guy. He's a criminal. He murdered, brutal murder, and so forth. People will even say, let him go to hell, where he belongs. That's not our mission as church, right? Our mission is his salvation, to give him what time he needs to repent of that action. Maybe he never will, but maybe he will.
What if it's like a straw stance and he goes, I'm never going to do that. That guy's crazy.
Never is a long time. People do change. So that's where capital punishment. Come on in, here comes the 10 o'clock class, which you're all welcome to stay for too. Capital punishment is, there's a little bit of wiggle room in capital punishment. The church would say that, again, the government has the duty to protect its citizens. So if there is no other way, and that is indeed the case, that there is no other way, capital punishment would be permissible under that circumstance. But the church would also clearly say, in a country like the United States, where you could incarcerate somebody, and I'm thinking of some of our latest examples where people have escaped and stuff, but if you could put somebody under maximum security so they are no longer a threat to its citizenship, then you have no right to kill that person. And again, if it's a matter of saying, well, it costs us $60,000 a year to support that person, you know, again, now we're talking about putting a price on human life. You know, is that it? $60,000 a year to keep this person incarcerated? So that's what their life is worth. You know, we would say human life is an infinite value. You know, if it's a country, if it's a banana republic where there's a coup every week and there's every good chance that next week the guy is going to be broken out of prison, and that's a different story. That's a different story. We don't live in that kind of country. So that's what you really go through when you go through an examination of conscience. Right? That's what we did with the, you know, the sheets, the handouts you have. It's not a matter of, you know, thou shalt not kill. Well, I didn't murder anybody, I'm in the clear. Well, you know, what's your voting record like? You know, are you voting for people who kill people? If you're supporting them, yeah.
Just a quick question. I know the Baptists go into the prisons and they minister to, do the Catholics do that too?
Yes. We have a very active prison ministry. The bishop even goes visiting prisons.
Now, how about if you're on like life support?
Well,
you're not reliable.
Yeah, extenuating. You know, not extenuating. What's the phrase I'm looking for? Extraordinary means of life support are not required. You know, but food and water is never considered extraordinary. You can't starve someone to death. You can't deny somebody food or water. That's a fundamental right.
But is it considered a mortal sin?
If you're kept, being kept alive by a machine and you're brain dead, that's extraordinary and there's no problem with unplugging that machine.
So if you're vegetative, that's okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
If your body is shutting down, if it's dying, that was the issue with Terri Schiavo, right? I mean, she wasn't dying. She was going to be in that vegetative state for a long time. So
she was responding too. So
that's what
she was above the vegetative.
Yeah, you hear both sides of that. I don't know what.
But I saw some films of her just.
Yeah.
Before they.
So if someone is in an accident and they're in a vegetative state, that's no reason to terminate their life. But if they're truly terminal, that's a different story, right? You don't have to go through fancy machines, extraordinary means of life support to keep somebody alive. You can let them die naturally. That's one of the hard ones, right? You know, even when someone has suffering with cancer and they're in their last days and it's so painful, once you get them on hospice care, then you know, there's no limit to the amount of morphine they're allowed to have. Before that, there is a limit to the amount of morphine they could have. But you could say, well, morphine is going to could bring on death. That's not your intention. You know, your intention is not to bring upon their death. Your intention is to minimize their pain until they die naturally. If giving them morphine means they last 3 days instead of four, you know, that wasn't your intention. It's intentions that matter. Always intentions. As you do an examination of conscience, it's intention that matters. You know, you don't want to get wrapped around the axle with the letter of the law. That's never what God is going to read your heart. If you think that maybe you've committed a sin, guess what? You probably did. You did. And that's where you need to examine yourself. Only you could do that. You have to examine yourself and go through those various exercises, and there are thousands of them, right? If you usually going through the commandments one by one in all the subcategories and say, am I guilty of this? You know, have I thought like this? And so if you do, you bring that to confession. You don't confess venial sins, though, right? Those are automatically.
All right, again, I'm sorry, but if I have advanced diabetes, and there's three conditions to where they don't feed you, you know, if you're whatever those three conditions are, they don't have to force you to stay alive.
You have to look. It gets complicated because it's the same. When I say you can't deny someone food, you get to the point where your body won't want to accept food. Exactly. You know, it's you're dying at that point. That's a different story. But what they have done in other cases is purposely withheld food and water, so you bring upon their death.
Okay.
So that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. All right. Well, I think we probably 9:57, and then we'll call RCA.